Okay, I'd like to start the Oceana Community Service District Wednesday, August 23rd meeting call to order. First thing on our agenda is the roll call.
Director Austin?
Here.
Director Varney?
Here.
Director Joyce Sennison?
Here.
Vice President Gibson?
Yes.
And President Villa?
Here. Next we have the flag salute. Okay, next we have the agenda review. Take a couple of seconds to review the agenda and have someone motion to approve it. I second.
Director Austin?
Oh, yes.
President Villa?
Yes.
Director Varney?
Yes.
Director Joyce Sennison?
Yes.
And Vice President Gibson?
Yes.
Okay, next on our agenda, we have public comment on matters not on the agenda. Again, it's public comment for matters not on the agenda. This public comment period provides an opportunity for members of the public to address the board on matters of interest within the jurisdiction of the district that are not listed on the agenda. If a member of the public wishes to speak at this time, public comment is limited to 3 minutes.
Can we do the flag salute?
We did?
Yes.
I lost. I was taken up by...
Okay.
I'm sorry. Must have got picked up by aliens.
Okay.
Oh, my
so,
gosh. I'm sorry.
This is public comment, and it looks like I have one speaker slip for public comment for items not on the agenda, or is Carrie for items not on the agenda?
Right. Yes. Thank you.
Well, I really don't know. This really isn't business. Maybe it is. Anyway,
can you state your name?
Carrie Langford. I'm a 38-year resident of Oceano here. Y'all recall that movie? It was called Ghostbusters 2. And the sort of the theme of the thing is underneath the city of New York ran this big river they discovered that was sort of an exoplasm. And it was all negative energy and all. And I'm sorry to say that I've noticed that I've been coming for the last 3 months or so to the meetings here, and all of a sudden it just dawned on me that the moment you bang that gavel, that river starts to go here. I've listened to so much negative comment and so much negativity that it's ridiculous. I'm 80. I don't know if I have 10 weeks, 10 months, 10 years to go. But with the remaining time that I have, I would very much like to just be positive, to learn, to create, and all, and this coming to these meetings just is not working. And Director Varney, you said you often work, or you come and you work in a toxic environment created by some directors. And were you not the head of a committee that was disbanded by the county for its negativity and its just detrimental comments being made, and you called Linda Austin a Nazi because of her support for a fallen police officer, and you called that positive influence. You brought the negativity along with you. And anyway, that's all I had to say. I wish you all well.
Thank you. Bye.
Any more public comment for items not on the agenda? Being none, we'll close public comment, and we'll continue. Next, we have special presentations and reports. We don't have any presentations, I believe, but reports from Sheriff South Station, Commander Keith Scott. I don't believe he's here today. FCFA Operations Chief Steve Lieberman. I don't see him here. Operations Utility System Manager Tony Maraschino. We can count on.
Good evening, Board. Tony Maricino, Utility Systems Manager. As you all might be aware of, the water is tasting and smelling a little funny. KSBY did an article on that last night. It is primarily a blue-green algae. They are working on it. It will get eliminated here shortly. It is completely safe to drink. Now, what you can do to help you out with the drinking part is an active carbon, like a Brita filter. So that'll definitely help with the taste and odor. But it is safe. And we do have a link on our website if you want more information on it. Okay? So Lopez is currently at 98% full, which is 48,411 acre feet. We're continuing to do weekly, monthly samples. We had 5 work orders, 32 USAs, and that's due to a contractor doing work on behalf of SoCalGas in the community. We had 7 customer service calls. We had 2 after-hours call-outs. One was at right before 11 p.m., and the other one was at midnight. 4 shutoffs. The customers had broken water lines inside their houses. We are continuing to paint hydrants. We should be completely done with that here in the next week. We had door hangers, and we did sewer jetting. Sewer jetted primarily Highway 1 before the overlay project occurs, because we won't have access to those manholes until the overlay is complete. And we are still continuing to pick up trash throughout the community. Any questions? All right, thank you. Have a good night.
Okay, next report we have from the LCSD General Manager, Will Cummins.
Yeah, the last 2 Fridays, the Care for Paws has come back and had a mobile unit in the back and providing free veterinary services to the community. That's been very well received. And staff has been busy working on 12 Public Record Act requests from 2 individuals. And that's the end of my report.
All right. Next, we go to the Board of Directors and Outside Committee reports. We have my report. I have nothing to report. Vice President Gibson?
Nothing to report.
Director Austin?
Nothing.
Director Joyce Sennison?
Nothing.
Director Varney?
Nothing.
Wow. Okay. Next, we have public comment on special presentations and reports. I don't believe we have any. Or
real quick, public comment on what you just went through. Tony is gone, so I'll save my questions for him. But I'm curious if we could get an update from Vice President Gibson on your meeting with the mayor of Arroyo Grande about water sales.
Essentially, it comes down to it was not anything to do with our district. It was essentially they were crossing their fingers and hoping and waiting until the last minute.
Sorry, I'm slow. I noticed on the financials today there was a $675 charge or remittance for Charles Varney to go to some kind of training program. And I haven't heard any report about that, and I was wondering if he could tell us what kind of a report, what kind of a event he went to and something about it.
The event hasn't happened yet, and it's the California Association of Community Services Districts.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. I saw the bill today in the financials, so I assumed you'd gone. Thank you.
Shouldn't that come to the board or at least general manager for approval? I mean, I know that we used to have a voluntary agreement to pay for our own.
I would just suggest maybe we talk about this under consent review of cash disbursements.
Okay, thank you.
Any further comment? Being none, we'll close that. And next we have the consent agenda items. a look at the consent agenda items and have someone motion?
Madam Chair?
Yes.
Yeah, I'd like to pull item C, please.
Okay.
Would you like me to follow up on the question on the $675?
Is it appropriate at this time?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay.
Is this part of consent? So, process the payment for any board member that attends training. So that was part of, obviously, I have that authority, spending authority. So anytime you need to attend a training, we will process that for you.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Clemens.
Okay, so can I have someone motion to approve the consent agenda items except for the one that's item C pulled for discussion?
Public comment?
Public comment. I'm sorry, public comment for the consent agenda items.
With regard to the minutes, again, I find that they are scaled back in their content, which is fine, but the July 26th meeting minutes are richer with a commentary from whoever wrote them.
Any further public comment? Being none, we'll close comment. Public comment. And can I have someone motion to approve the consent agenda items without the item C that's going to be pulled for discussion?
So moved.
I second.
Director Barney?
Yes.
President Villa?
Yes.
Director Austin?
Yes.
Director Joyce Sinison?
Yes.
And Vice President Gibson?
Yes.
All righty then, we'll start the discussion.
Yeah, this is just, I think for the public folks here in the room, Carrie, if you could you just kind of give a quick summary of what the investment report is for our new where we're putting our reserve monies with. I can't remember the name of the company that we contracted with.
Yes. So it's Optimized. We contracted with them, and they basically, the summary is second paragraph of the staff letter. So the county, we only have $28,000, which we used to keep the majority of our funds there. Once we hired Optimized, we basically have seven investments totaling $2,098,547 were purchased. And then we have CDs totaling to $924,000, and then on also U.S. Treasury bonds. So they were able to purchase that, and you can see on page 14 of our agenda item, that resulted in $8,723 total of interest for this quarter. So obviously that's a lot more than we used to get from the county, and this is what the new reports will look like going forward. Optimized also mentioned if there's anything you guys would like to add, remove, or basically any adjustments you have to this report, they're open to hearing it. And they also mentioned as they hear from other districts they're working with, they'll show us the changes they're making, and we would be able to have those to them. So they're very helpful, and let me know if you have any feedback, and I'd be happy to pass that on to them.
Thank you very much. That's all.
I think it's very good news.
Yeah, okay. We done with this? One more discussion? Public comment?
Good evening. My name is April. And I just wanted to go back to the January 25th meeting where you met with the company that presented to you and you ultimately took. And in that document when they... the packet that they gave you to consider. I just want you to think about item 15 called internal controls, where it states, just one paragraph real quick if you would allow me. The general manager is responsible for establishing and maintaining an internal control structure designed to ensure that the assets of the OCSD are protected from loss, theft, fraud, and misuse. Thank you.
Any further public comment? Close public comment on this item, and next we have the business item.
The review of the cash disbursement. I just wanted to go over something with them. So. Is it too late to do that? It's okay? Okay. So I just had a couple of questions. I had a couple of questions about 4-6, 5-10, and 7-12. There was a cash disbursement in April for $3,760, in May, $8,500, and in July, $2,580 and $68.50 to this Andrew Dara. And this all adds up to about just a little under $15,000. And I'm just wondering what that is. Who is this guy and what is he doing? I know that Director Varney tried to ask about it, I believe in May, but it didn't seem like there was an actual answer. It was kind of alluded to that it had something to do with the EV stations, but it wasn't actually answered. So I was just wondering, what is this program?
Yes, so we have a contract with this individual to help us procure some electric vehicle chargers for the community. So he is preparing plans and getting those through the county permitting process. So that's what he is currently doing for us.
Now, is this part of the grant program?
It will be. That's part of his work effort, is to apply for grant funding to actually install them. So he has indicated that there's two grant programs he'll be pursuing that will either result in complete cost offset, so nothing to the district, or maybe a couple thousand dollars in costs that aren't eligible for the grants.
Okay, because it kind of looked like it was some kind of a rebate program, and that's very different than a grant. Where are these stations going to go?
So we have, he's looking at three areas. One is our water yard, because we need to have electric vehicle charging there eventually, because there's state law coming down that even our fleets are going to need to be electrified. So water yard is one, this property is one, and the train depot property would be another.
So didn't we just buy a vehicle? That's a diesel vehicle, right?
Correct, because they don't have the trucks that are electrified that do what we need them to do.
Okay,
currently.
Got it. So, and through what purview, what power do we have to be allowed to do that? I mean, because it looked like that was under roads and transportation or transit.
We can put anything on our facilities that we own, and definitely chargers for our vehicles.
Okay. And do you think that here on this property, is that going to go out front so that the public can use it as well, or is that going to...
It'll be probably back in the rear parking lot. Whether or not the public can use it on this property is up in the air right now because of ADA issues. But the public would definitely be able to use the one that is going to be placed on the depot property. But of course, we would have to get the permission of our tenant, the Oceano Depot Association, in order to actually build those.
Okay.
So what you're saying is that we're going to be compensated for these amounts for the 14,000, almost 15,000?
Yes.
Okay, that's great.
That's part of the grant that they cover that cost.
Okay.
I had a question. So this will kind of mesh with Clean California. Essentially, we're going to be...
It's a different program, but...
Right, but, you know, the result... and I think the one at the depot will be good because I know a lot of people either go to events there or they park there on the weekends. And we will have signage, correct, on that?
I don't know the details of the plans that yet. They're not finalized. So.
Okay. But I think, you know, signage would help locals to know that that is available.
And so. I'm pretty sure they have apps where if you own a... electric vehicle that help you find where the charging stations are. And that's one thing the Air Pollution Control District has noticed is that Oceano doesn't have a lot of electric chargers, if any. And so they're trying to get that into the community. And that's why the grants cover such a big chunk of it.
Does anybody know where the closest charger is, by chance?
We don't have one here in Oceano that I know.
Yeah.
Right?
I don't.
So I think that's important for Oceano to have the ability to do that.
Okay. Are we going to be having to put... So is this guy writing a grant for us? Is that what's happening?
Yes. He's getting the plans done. He has to get the bids before he can submit the grant to the granting agencies.
And the granting agency is the Clean California?
Yes.
Okay.
Do you know the number of stations in each site?
I think he's planning a total of 10. That might be 4 at the depot, 4 on this property, and 2 at the water yard.
Okay.
Okay, are we done with this discussion?
One more question. When do you anticipate purchasing an electric vehicle?
For our use?
Right.
I wouldn't,
put a date on it?
Yeah, I wouldn't put a date on
that. Okay, just curious.
We are, you have approved a truck, a small truck in the... budget for us, so we're holding off on purchasing that to see if we could possibly purchase an electric truck to use in our meter reading. The larger truck that we're using or that we're purchasing, that's got a air compressor on it and all the tools and everything, so that will take care of the needs along those lines. But we also are trying to replace the 1994 pickup that they use for just smaller jobs. And so there are a few electric trucks out there, but they may be too expensive. We'll see.
And when is the requirement date?
I don't have that off the top of my head. I want to... It keeps kind of getting, they've set this deadline, but then the industry hasn't kept up with actually building the trucks. So
I think it's 2035, but I'm not exactly 100%.
Thank you.
So I think we need a motion on 7C.
Any public comment on this?
Hi, April. I just hope that you guys would follow up, maybe, because it sounds like, I don't know, maybe I'm wrong. Is this part done? Is the 15, whatever you said, almost 15,000, is that it? Is it capped at that? Are we done at that amount? Did you guys see any contract? Did you know anything about this? And what grant exactly, when you pay in advance and then you get the money back in a grant, works? So I just wonder if there's maybe some more questions you could ask. Maybe not tonight, but agendize it down the road to get some more detail. Thanks.
Mm-hmm. Any further public comment on this item? Being none, we'll close this public comment. And motion to receive and file.
I make a motion to receive and file.
The item on the consent agenda, item C. Do I have a second?
Second.
Vice President Gibson?
Yes.
Director Varney?
Yes.
Director Austin?
Yes.
Director Joyce Sinison?
Yes.
And President Villa?
Yes. Okay, now that takes us to our business items. And the first thing we have on here is the 2023 committee assignments. Okay. Do I have anyone that wants to start this discussion?
So I asked to have this item on the agenda, and I think it'll be relatively quick. We put this together early in the year, and I am on, I'm the kind of the secondary on the Regional Water Management Group and on the State Water Subcontractors Group, and I have yet to be invited to any meetings. So that's been almost 9 months. And I just wondered, the general manager is the representative of OCSD there. I wonder, have you attended any of these meetings?
I've attended, but I'm not on the committees yet. So they haven't processed this through the Board of Supervisors. So the county is being very slow on these two committees to change our representation, and I'm not sure exactly why.
So how do you get notification?
I've always gone to those meetings, so I just know about them.
Well, would you please notify me?
Sure.
Of the meetings, because I'm not getting notification, and I would like to attend.
And I think I sent an email requesting that we be added, and I copied you on that several months ago.
I
can't remember when it was, but
mm-hmm.
Yeah, they haven't taken any action, and I'm not sure why.
Okay. Okay. Well, I'll look forward to that.
So I think the State Water Subcontractors have a meeting September 1st, which is Friday, at 10 a.m. So that'll probably be the next one.
And where is that at?
That's on the third floor of the County Government Center. But I'll send you the details.
Okay, thank you very much. And then the other one is the Zone 1-1A group, which is out of the county flood control and, you know, is the group responsible for the levy. And Linda Austin is our representative, and Linda is already a member of Zone 1-1A as a resident. And so it is not appropriate for her to be representing herself as a resident and also the district.
Can I just speak to that? So we do not have a representative as the district on Zone 1-1A because we don't own property in that those zones. So you have to be a property owner in Zone 1-1A to be on that committee. So this is really just an informative position to report to this board if what's going on in Zone 1-1A. So since she owns property, I think that's why her name's on here. She can report what's going on with that committee, but we don't have a seat on that committee.
So I didn't realize that you have to be a property owner to be on it.
Yeah.
I thought it was open to the, but it's open to the public.
Yeah, all those that own property in Zone 1-1A.
Only those that own? Can you go just
public
as a
meeting? It's
a public meeting.
Yeah.
And that's why Karen White is on part of the meeting because Halcyon owns property.
I'm sorry, I didn't get that.
Karen White is a member representing Halcyon.
Okay. All right. Okay, thank you.
No, that's not quite correct.
Okay.
I represent Halcyon at Zone 1-1A. Halcyon is part of Zone 1-1A, but because I don't live physically 100 yards too far away, I can't be a member, but I'm a sort of a halfway member because Halcyon is a member and I'm representing Halcyon.
Thanks for the clarification.
Yeah. Okay. If I could, are you done?
I am.
Okay, so I was going to ask Director Gibson if you could let me know when this Zone 3 at Lopez Water is happening. I would like to attend those.
Okay, I'll ask that they put your name on the list. I didn't know they weren't notifying you.
No, I haven't been getting notifications. I get them from RAC, and anytime Director Villa can't go, I go. But yeah, I would like to go just a couple of times to see what it's all about.
Okay.
And then if you need an alternate, I can show up. And then, not that it's really my business, but would it be more appropriate for Director Varney to be the main person for the state water and the general manager? He should be the alternate just because he's actually a board member? I mean, I'm just asking that question. Maybe there's...
Yeah, we made this change this year. Before it was always a board member, but in particular state water subcontractors and the regional water management group, those are fairly technical committees, and so most of the other agencies have their staff as their member, and I thought we would just follow that, but it's really up to you.
I can attest to that after being on it for several years. It is very complex, and most of the managers know what is going on with the other contractors, and then have to know a lot about the state. So it is a pretty deep learning curve.
But this way we don't get a report about it. Like when the directors give their director's report, we don't get a report about this. So that was the only reason I stated that.
That I can answer part of that in that state water contractors have had very few meetings this year.
And that's true. And I haven't been officially seated yet, but I'll definitely, I can provide reports on those meetings, what's taking place, if you desire. Mm-hmm. But again, It doesn't have to be the general manager. It can be one of the board members. So it's really up to you.
Well, we voted it to be this way, I remember. And it was because we agreed that it was very technical and complicated. I was part of it for, I don't know, can't remember how many months, when Director Gibson had a conflict or something with her schedule. And I would constantly have to call certain people that were, you know, water experts to explain to me, because I felt silly, kind of, giving a report when I didn't understand exactly what I was saying. So it is technical. But if a board member here feels like they have a lot of expertise when it comes to water and doesn't think it's complex, well.
Mm-hmm. Why couldn't, if Director Varney wants to go, he could still go to the meeting, right? You can both be there. And then if he wanted to give the report, he could give the report, and him and Will could tag it together.
Yep, that's just why I wanted to get informed when the meetings happen. I was an elected director of the Santa Maria Valley Water Conservation District for 5 years, and do have, you know, some background in these topics. So that's it for me.
Any further discussion? No? So I don't believe we need a public comment.
Julie Tacker, and it seems to me this was a very healthy discussion. I'm happy that you had it, and I think we all learned a lot about how things work or the logic behind them. But it occurs to me that when these committee assignments occur in January, February, whenever we normally do it, that your staff would sign you up or show you where to get signed up to be on the distribution lists for the agendas. And if not just for the committees that you're assigned to, for sure, but maybe you should all be getting all the agendas for every committee so that you have that opportunity to attend should you have availability or interest. It's not that difficult. I'm on these agenda distribution lists. I get them in my email. I don't go to all the meetings. I catch the replays on occasion. But it doesn't take very long to get signed up. But the value is there. You can skim that agenda. And sometimes there's something that catches your eye that you want to participate in, or circle back and catch the minutes in another meeting. But it just seems like it's something that staff could facilitate for you going forward in the future. And starting today, make sure you are getting those agendas promptly. That's all for me.
I'd just like to add that anyone interested in water committees, that RAC is probably the most interesting one to attend. They discuss many issues, and they bring in guest speakers. And there's a lot of information there. A lot of it's very interesting. Some of it's not here so much. It may be about Paso Basin or whatever, but it's very informative.
Thank you for sharing that, Shirley. I appreciate that, as the room probably does as well. I wanted to point out two quick things. The first being, in your little grid of these committees, under state water subcontractors, it's listed GM Clemens as the main person. So I think maybe a solution could be to just flip the two and instruct your GM to attend them, but that Director Varney would be the main person in the first column as a board member to represent the district. And then this would be a great opportunity for teamwork between the general manager and Director Varney to maybe work together to create this report. And also, this is a paid gig. So by the GM going, he's already getting paid. And when Director Varney isn't first one, then he doesn't have an opportunity to be paid. And he's just lost the Five Cities Fire Authority. And there's not much money to be made as a director. And so now we're denying him an opportunity of $50 because he, I'm still talking, thank you, because he won't be the main one. So again, I just think this is a great collaborative opportunity to bring a director in. If this is so technical, this would be a great opportunity to not keep them in the dark and give them an opportunity to learn more and not make it so technical. And then the other question I had real quick is, in the bottom in green, it says committee assignments in green are eligible for OCSD compensation, but you have Parks and Rec advisory also is green. So I just personally, I'm not clear. Are internal committees of the CSD eligible to be paid money? That's my question. Thank you.
I want to clarify, I never received a dime from State Water Contractors Committee. Yeah, nothing. You get nothing. Except information.
Mm-hmm. Do you want to answer that?
So, yes, internal committees are eligible for reimbursement.
Can I say something? At the beginning of this, Director Varney and I both stated we would be volunteers on this, and I believe we're still good with that. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
I'm sorry, I can't hear what you're saying, Director Sims.
Even though we are eligible to be paid reimbursement for attending that committee, we had stated at the beginning that we did not want reimbursement because this was something we wanted to do. So, no, we don't want. Thank you, but no thank you.
Are we done with this discussion?
I'd just like to have a comment that my thinking back when we set this up was kind of along the lines that you were mentioning, Ms. Drury, that I would sort of tag along, get mentored in this, and then that actually maybe down the line then we could do that switch, which is why I've been interested in attending the meetings.
So unless there's an action, I think we can move on.
Okay, no motion needed, right, for anything. Okay, next we have on our agenda discussion of district expenditure control guidelines. And do you want to start this discussion again, Director Varney, since you requested that it be put on the agenda?
Well, why don't we start with the staff report? You included a...
Yeah, there's a staff report included in your packet. Our expenditure control guidelines are attached in there. And I think there was a desire to revisit what the discretionary spending of the general manager was. That ours is currently $25,000 for services and supplies, goods, etc. That was increased to $30,000 during the pandemic, but once the pandemic was declared over by Governor Newsom, that dropped back down to $25,000. I don't believe I ever used the authority up to $30,000 during the pandemic. It wasn't necessary, but it was there just in case. So I've given you some in the staff report, similar districts around the county and what their general manager's discretionary spending is. As you can see, we're on the lower side of those in the county. Los Osos, Templeton both have $50,000. And I noted the County Department of Public Works because they operate water and sewer systems that are even smaller than ours. Yet their director can authorize up to $200,000. So that's why I included them. And so with that, I'll turn it back over to the board.
Okay. Okay, thank you, President Villa. This topic is important to me for a couple of reasons. One of them is that I have found myself on numerous occasions having to make decisions about pretty large expenditures, which I really do not have much background on. And that concerns me. And the second thing is that that this, I think, $25,000 authority allows many contracts to be made or purchases to be made that the board deserves to have some input on or some more oversight on. I can give a few examples. There were two water reports that were commissioned by the general manager. I think one was for $15,000, and it involved an analysis of whether it was a good idea for us to increase our entitlement for state water. I'm not saying that was money that wasn't well used. I really don't know. With my background, as I looked at it, it seemed to me to be a bit of overkill, but I didn't have any really opportunity to discuss it or have input on it. Another contract was for a drought reaction plan at different stages of drought, required of us by, I think, the State Department of Water, DWR. This involved a spreadsheet of, you know, if state water supplies drop this much and if Lopez would drop this much, then it would trigger either stage one, stage two, stage three. I think we paid, I don't know, $5,500 for that. This looked to me very much like this was simply a cut and paste job of the engineer who put it together, some calculations. And I think that if this had come to us, I would have raised questions about it. And if in fact this was just something that the director could do himself as part of his job. So, and then I think
that. Manager, right?
I mean the manager, yes, sorry. And then the other example, or the last one I'll use, is when I think it was at my second meeting that I was asked to approve a $33,000 contract for a grant writer where I had really no input into what the content of the grant was, no chance to really discuss it in detail. And so for that reason, I want to propose that we reduce the authority of the general manager from $25,000 to $5,000, which is not an uncommon number in agencies. And that will then allow us to have more information and more oversight in terms of these kinds of issues and projects and grant opportunities, etc.
May I respond, President Villa?
Go ahead.
Okay. Well, for one thing, I know that there are valves that cost more than $5,000, and I think. Probably the general manager can address that more. I mean, are we going to have a special meeting every week for him, for him to be able to, spend money? I think that's a waste of time. And I also wanted to point out that $33,000 grant, that Director Varney was the original person that contacted MNS and recommended them to help us with grant writing. And so I know that you, and you spoke about it, and you had opportunity to share, you know, share your wants and desires with them. And normally we leave that to the general manager because, you know, we don't want to cause a problem for the negotiation. And so, you know, basically you've stated before that you're unhappy that the depot received any of the benefits. But if we look at it, the contract cost $33,000 and Oceano is benefiting to the tune of over $400,000 in beautification, benches, blacktop, garbage receptacles, new lighting, and on and on, some murals. You know, the list is long. And one of the, particularly, one of the specific reasons that we received the award, because the MNS, they determined that including the train depot that gave us many points, and that is one of the reasons that we received the grant. So we weren't an automatic approval of the grant. We had to get enough points to get to that point. So I think it was well worth the $33,000, and it's going to really beautify and change the center of town. It's going to make a big difference, and I applaud the effort to get to that point. I yield the floor.
What I'd like to respond to that.
Go ahead.
Just to clarify, the grant has not been awarded. We don't have any money from it. We've paid $33,000 to somebody to write the grant. So you're a little out ahead of yourself there on that one. The it was a bit of a challenge. I had talked to the grant writer about a sidewalk infill project that would have completed a sidewalk to the beaches. And then I was told later that he had dropped that idea because the general manager had said the Oceano had no authority for sidewalks. And that the project that would have cost, quote, millions of dollars. When we got a confirmed estimate on it, a ballpark estimate, it was actually $300,000. And it would have been part of the project that would have served the entire community of Oceano for the rest of its history. And for the first time in history, children could have walked from Oceano Elementary School to the beach or to the state park for educational activities, and so could, of course, everybody else. But I was told by the grant writer that there was another part of the project, which was to tear out the entire sidewalk in front of the train depot and replace it with a new sidewalk that contained tiles, decorative tiles. And so I wondered why one sidewalk would not be okay and another sidewalk would be. And he didn't really have an answer for that. I was concerned about that. And then when we got the preliminary list of what the projects were going to be, I asked for a list of it, and I was refused. You may remember that, and we had to go through quite a bit of back and forth and get the attorneys involved to even the directors get to know what was being proposed. This is a real issue of transparency, and the in fact, this would be the number one job of a director, the director duties, first one on the list is maintain control and direction of the district by action of the Board of Directors taken pursuant to the Brown Act, and also on the authority of the directors, the number one statement is the full Board of Directors in actions taken pursuant to the Brown Act retain absolute power to set policy, direct staff, and conduct the business of the district. So this is, I think this is a very important rule change that will really operationalize our capacity to have more input, oversight, and for the public to have more oversight and input into this, into the process, which is why I'm proposing it.
May I answer, President Villa?
Yes.
Okay. As I understand it, we have, we only can put sidewalks on our property. And what about Caltrans? They're going to be open to sidewalks? I mean, that does not make sense. And also, I have no idea what you're talking about that we couldn't get information. And I also know that you have stated various places that you were accusing the general manager and Director Austin that somehow they spoke to the consultant and somehow got more things for the depot. And that is wrong.
If I may, I think we need to get back to the actual topic on the agenda, which is discussion of the district expenditure control guidelines.
We kind of went on a tangent.
What is being proposed under that topic?
Be happy to make a motion.
So,
well, I haven't got my time to talk. Hmm. So
there's more directors would like to make comments.
Okay.
Would you like to go?
Yes. I looked at the California Special District Association, and the discretionary spending of managers were pretty much all over the place, but there were several that were low, like $5,000, $10,000. My concern is on May 10th, a direct question was asked, what is this check for $8,500? And the answer was, I wrote that check because I had the discretion to do it. And there wasn't, like tonight when I asked a question about checks, I got a very clear answer, which I appreciate, so thank you for that. But on May 10th, the answer was not clear and basically told I could do it because I could. And that's never a good answer. That doesn't want to make people allow you to spend more money. So.
May I respond?
Go ahead.
I don't recollect that question. If the question was, how come we spent this money, then the answer was probably because that was within my spending authority. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, my brain's not good enough to go back.
I think
three months.
The exact verbiage you used. It was within my spending authority, and there was no...
So I probably answered the question that was asked. Maybe the right question wasn't asked who it was for. I don't know. It was, I mean, we know who it's for.
Okay.
So.
Got it. We need to learn how to ask questions that you can answer.
I will answer the question that is asked. That is true.
Go ahead, Linda. I'd like to have Mr. Clemens go through a few things that are going to cost over $5,000, especially with equipment, vehicles, other issues that could come up.
You know, we routinely spend $20,000 on meters to replace meters. We spend $20,000 on pipes that we need to purchase. You know, we spend on chemicals, you know, $5,000 to $10,000 a pop. So if those are the types of things you want to bring back to the board, it's just going to slow the guys down in the field, and that's your discretion.
Mm-hmm. Can I say, I'd like to speak, right? Go ahead. Okay, so looking at the staff report, we see here we're Los Osos, $50,000, Templeton CSD, $50,000, Napomo CSD, $25,000, Oceano CSD, $25,000. So we're right there within the range of all the other local CSDs, and just like you said, water meters, pipes. To try to put this down to $5,000 would cripple the efficiency of this district. It's not feasible. One way to keep this place operating. I mean, we need to ensure water, sewer safety. If there's something happens, they got to buy a part. Then we have to call a special meeting to approve a $6,000 or a $10,000 thing that's going to leave a water leak happening. And we have to. What if nobody's here for a meeting? This is $25,000 is a very good amount, and I think it should stay just like it is and keep this district running with the efficiency that it has been running. Any reduction in that would be detrimental to the welfare of the community, I feel like. So you said pipes and water meters. You know, it's simple as that. So I'm definitely not in favor of reducing this, you know, to $5,000. It would be very risk, you know.
Yeah, there's risk involved when you're slowing down the process, and it'll end up being more costly.
That's the problem. If you can't get it fixed then at the time, because we have to have a meeting, then what happens, and it's going to cost maybe three times as more because the massive leak gets worse, you know, and then we have to declare a reckless thing to try to do. To it would cripple the efficiency, like I said, of the way this district has been running.
I have a question, and I hope I phrase it correctly. I believe there's 9 special districts in this area, and you only put 4 down. I was wondering, why didn't you include all of the special districts?
That depends on what those special. I could have put more than this.
Just the ones closest. I mean, Napomo is a good example. Los Osos is a good example as far as like. Can we ask the back please not comment while we're trying to deliberate?
Could I have a little respect back there? Okay. So,
could you ask Miss April Dury to stop mimicking me and mocking me, please?
Can I have, please, respect and no gestures? And
can I also ask that she respect me then? We're just going to start talking out
of okay, talk. Can we please? Okay, so are we done with the comments?
Yeah,
discussion?
I'm done. Yeah, I'm.
Did you have another? I think this would just create roadblocks for the district.
Exactly.
So I'm against it.
Okay, so now I want to do my comments. I like being the last one for various reasons. Of course, I'm going to be the middle of the road person because that's just the way I am. I see 25,000 Napomo. It's the closest one. Los Osos, 50,000. So those are two communities I'm looking at. Oceano, $25,000. $5,000 to me seems it would be too low, Director Varney, because everything's so expensive. I mean, if a pipe breaks in my house that I have to replace, if OCSD doesn't replace it and I have to replace it, I think I'm looking like, oh my gosh, $10,000 and above, because everything's, I mean, to do with pipes, with homes, infrastructure is very expensive, so $5,000 to me would be too low. It would, you know, there's like 2 weeks between meetings, and they have to do, if they have to wait for our approval, or we have to have a special meeting, I think that is, would impede on the efficiency of the district. So the $5,000, I believe, is way too low.
Okay. So I don't believe, I think that the efficiency will actually increase. I mean, if we have to buy $20,000 worth of chemicals at one shot, there's no reason why that can't be just brought in part of a consent agenda, $20,000 for chemicals. And okay, what's the problem with that? I don't think that's an emergency purchase. I'm happy to put in this proposal that, you know, there's an exception for emergencies. Yes, okay. If a $25,000 valve breaks and needs to be replaced, there can be a provision for, you know, emergency purchase. That's not a problem. This is designed to, you know, exclude already approved contracts, projects, scheduled payments, those sorts of things. But that I gave very good examples of the kinds of things that, you know, this will bring to the board for review. $5,000. Well, what would be an acceptable number to you?
At least 15. And I mean, if you want to.
Yeah. So, okay. So 15,000. Like I said, the two first examples I gave were, you know, these water contract, water planning contracts that were let that I think we should have had overview of, we should have had input to, and that would have allowed those to go forward. I don't think that is, we should be sacrificing our oversight and responsibilities and the public's capacity to see what's going on by having a limit that large. I could go along with.
I mean, if there's an emergency, Director Varney, $5,000, I don't think, I mean, if there's a pipe, a valve or something, it's,
I just
don't think it's enough.
We would have an exception for emergencies.
Okay, then you would have to modify your, like,
phrase that. I haven't made the motion yet.
Yeah.
So, but I'd be happy to do
that. You would have to include that in your motion.
May I have a comment? Well, for one thing, Director Varney seems to think that he knows about water issues. He knows more than the general manager. And I also like to point out, I don't have the numbers, but I know there are at least two bylaws that recommend that you do not micromanage the general manager. I mean, it's in black and white. And this seems to me to be, you know, essentially a move for Director Varney to control and micromanage the district. He's not the general manager. We hire a general manager to carry out our policies, and then we have final say whether those policies have been met. So this doesn't help the district be more successful. It doesn't help the district at all. All you're doing is putting more roadblocks.
I absolutely disagree with that. This is not about micromanaging. The general manager can still bring anything he wants to the table, and we exercise our duties for oversight, management, control, and approval and direction. This has nothing to do with micromanaging. It has to do with us doing our job and having an opportunity to do it.
And I certainly disagree with your opinion.
May I say one? Go ahead, Director Ria. Those two items, I'm going to just ask Mr. Clemens, the water supply analysis and the water shortage contingency plan. You did those. Would that, can you just talk a little bit about those and why would that be something that would have to come before us before that you did? I mean, is it seem to have a problem with you doing that? I want to know what those entail and what.
Well, definitely, I'm not an engineer, so someone that it's going to have to be an engineer that comes up with a water shortage contingency plan or. What was the other one we were talking about?
Water supply analysis.
Water supply analysis. I mean, that the consultant we use has a pretty robust model that they've developed to analyze water supply. So as far as water shortage contingency plans go, that's something that has to be done by agencies all around us. And Pismo Beach, Rio Grande, Morro Bay, Zone 3, Cambria, they all use consultants.
So these were just like routine things that we do every year.
Well, this was the first time we ever had to do one because of SB 552. We were too small to do a water shortage contingency. We were too small of an agency in the past to be required to do a water shortage contingency plan. But SB 552 changed that. It required us to do that. And so just like the cities hire a consultant to do their water shortage contingency plan, we did the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. I just want to reiterate again that the $25,000 is the right amount. I don't believe you say 15. Well, you might as well, you know, it's... I highly suggest that we leave it at $25,000 mm-hmm. to continue with the efficient mm-hmm. operation of this. Mm-hmm. Stop trying to throw roadblocks into the general manager's ability to do his job. That's what this is all about. Mm-hmm.
So just taking those two examples and whether that interferes with the general manager's ability to do his job, what would have been the problem if we had on our business agenda contract with this engineer to do this job, and Mr. Clemens has a staff report telling us what it's about. We have an opportunity to ask questions. The community has an opportunity to ask questions, and then we either go ahead and approve it or deny it. How does that hold? How is that inefficient? What is wrong with giving us that opportunity? That is a benefit, that is a strength, and that helps us do our job better.
Let me ask this. This water supply analysis and the water shortage, are these things that we have to have in place? I mean, so if it came to the board and we denied it, what would happen? Is this, we have to turn these into the state or somebody, you know?
The water shortage contingency plan definitely is required.
It is required, so it's something that we hire the general manager to take care of. The state requires it. So if we were to put it on here and decide we didn't want to do it, then we'd be in violation with the state.
What do you mean?
These things are done by that. Is the, you know, the water, water shortage contingency plan, the same thing, right?
And I think that is the reason that we have given the latitude to the general manager to, have a solution to an issue that is required. You know, why go through the extra work? And many times there can be a timing issue that this needs to happen soon.
And that's a problem there.
Later mm-hmm. for a meeting.
The timing issue is a real problem because we end up with something on Wednesday night that we have to approve or disapprove that's due on Friday. And that puts the issue on us. If Mr. Clemens is not bringing things to us in a timely manner, that is his responsibility and his bad if he's not organized that way. I think that he is organized, and that is simply a matter of getting things to us sooner and be working a little looking forward. So I think that we have pretty much exhausted the differences of opinion here, and it's probably time to have a motion and have public comment.
And I would say that there are times when he's not given a lot of time. So that's also the reason for the latitude. Mm-hmm.
We can deal with those situations.
Now we're done with the discussion.
I'd like to make a motion that we leave the 25,000 limit.
We need
as
to
is.
Do public comment.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay.
Public comment for this item.
Good evening again, Julie Tacker. And just so you know, the Los Osos CSD has the $50,000 number, but the general manager really only has $5,000 spending authority because he has to get bids and whatever he spends has to have been budgeted, just like your spending authority. It has to be in the budget for him to spend it. If there's some discretion, he certainly should give you as much time ahead to know about it. And if there are engineers to be engaged, he shouldn't necessarily sole source unless there is an emergency. And if you have some sort of water contingency plan or some choice before you, maybe you could get a better price if you did have a few guys bidding for the job. What I don't... and. Some of the examples of the urgency that he must have this authority for are budgeted for. It's in the budget. That's okay if it's budgeted for. And if you think that there's going to be some other emergency, that you need more valves and more water meters, put more in the budget. Mm-hmm. Put more in the budget.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Give him that authority through the budget that we've all seen and approved. The examples of the Dan Heimel reports, two of them, the expenditures for the EV stations and the grant writer. It occurs to me that in all of those cases, that could have been brought to the board. But even if it wasn't brought to the board, there should be some sort of memo to you explaining what the urgency was, what it's for. Somewhere when you're going through the cash disbursements and something like $8,500 comes up, there's a code or an asterisk or something that says, hey, I needed to dip into my spending authority so that you're not caught off guard. And then they're not questioning, and you're not thinking that he's doing something inappropriate. He needs to be a better communicator to your board and to the public so that there's no, there's clearly a cloud of question over what he's doing. It's not micromanaging, it's that he's not communicating what he's doing. Most other districts have a written general manager's report every meeting that they have, and they get that insight, those kinds of memos, so that you're aware of what he's doing.
President Villa, may I recommend that you enforce the six-minute rule?
No.
Because, you know, that's where, of many other things, where our increased legal costs are coming from.
Okay. Public comment.
Public comment, okay.
Thanks.
Real quick, I just want you guys to know that anyone can go on the Slow Span website and see the May 10th meeting and see exactly the interaction when Director Varney asked this question and how he was responded to. Real quick, just wanted to let you know that. And to reiterate, I won't go into detail more than Julie did, but to explain, when you have stuff budgeted, it's already approved. It's when it's past the budget that you guys then need to do a budget adjustment. There's other things that come into play. So these emergencies that have been talked about, they're budgeted. Water meters, things like that are budgeted already. And then lastly, I just wanted to say that in the old days, before, olden times, pre-COVID, agencies and organizations and businesses would come in and they would give presentations to you, the board. Some of you have been here during those times, some of you have not. And pitch it, explain to you what their service was. And you could get more than one to come in. You've been, all that's been taken away from you. You have no knowledge. It's all, again, this communication, this open transparency, dialogue, awareness of the decisions that are made that you ultimately sign for. So I hope that you understand that and maybe ask your board to come, I'm sorry, to ask your GM to maybe start doing that again, where you get to hear firsthand and you guys get to make the decision of who you want to choose for some of these services. Thank you.
Any further public comment? Seeing none, we'll close public comment for this item.
I'll make a motion to keep the expenditure amount $25,000 as it presently is. Sorry.
Second.
Vice President Gibson?
Yes.
Director Austin?
Yes.
Director Varney?
No.
Director Joyce Sennison?
No.
And President Villa?
No.
So I'd like to make a motion that we set a spending limit of $7,500 immediately for the general manager's discretionary use, which would exclude contracts, which would exclude approved contracts, projects, budgeted materials or services, scheduled payments, and other similar items. And also include a provision that in the case of a emergency, the in the case of an emergency, the general manager is approved for expenditures beyond that amount.
I second.
Director Varney?
Yes.
President Villa?
Yes.
Director Austin?
No.
Director Joyce Sennison?
Yes.
And Vice President Gibson?
No, that's just essentially hamstringing the district.
Okay, that brings us to the review of the fiscal year 2022-23 budget status as of June 30th, 2023, and consideration of a recommendation to approve year-end encumbrances.
Excuse me, Madam President. Could I ask a question on the last action? I couldn't get up quick enough.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah. My question is to you, to the board, and also to the attorney. I was wondering how that could be written and constructed as a legally binding piece of legislation, policy. Yeah, I just don't understand how that could be possibly written without the manager having to interpret something and the board saying, well, you interpret it wrong. If you listen to how it says, you could do this, but you can't do this, but you can't do this, I think I would like to see you draft a much better piece of policy, because I think it's very sad. Thank you.
Okay, so we're at the discussion. Would you like to answer that? Sorry, would you like?
What's the question?
Can't you respond to that?
I'm not a counsel or attorney. I don't know the legalese.
Does the board want me to try to respond to that?
Sure. I would like you to try to respond to it.
I mean, the answer is I'm not exactly sure how that will work. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was trying to keep up with, maybe it would be helpful if, I'm feeling bad for Ms.
No.
Cassiola.
No, you're good.
Okay.
No, that's
good. To make sure that we understood all of the limitations on the spending.
My apologies for not having this all typed up. And that's my bad.
But yeah, I think emergency spending up to above $7,500.
We didn't put a limit
on it. But there's no limit on it. I think it would be something that would be difficult to interpret potentially, but I don't know. So.
Mm-hmm. Well, can I just say, anything must have the word, whether it's 5,000, 10,000, or 25,000, there's going to be, would it be any different wording?
Well, I guess my confusion was, the things that I caught were $7,500 excluding items that were already budgeted and approved, or spending on those types of related items.
Right. I mean, like we have a state water project contract. We have to pay $300,000 quarterly. We have projects that we are committed to that are budgeted. We have scheduled payments for our membership in LAFCO. I mean, these are all budgeted. And I think that's really the point that was made about it's in the budget. It's already committed. Pay it.
Sure. It might be worthwhile just as a suggestion. You've already essentially agreed as a board to limit the discretionary spending, but it might be worthwhile to direct staff to work on that language and then maybe bring it back for approval at a later time. That way we aren't doing it under these types of circumstances. I mean, I know you want it to be immediate, but if we were to work, you direct staff to work on the language for that, we might be able to provide some options to the board to vote on later.
I'm fine with that. I think that's a good idea, and I would welcome the general manager's drafting of that in a way that I think he understands the intent. And
yeah, I think our expenditure control guidelines are good enough where I can just see changing anywhere it says 25,000 changes to 7,500.
Excellent.
Because much of this is all those exclusions you mentioned are covered in the policy. So I think we can make that change immediately.
So we can make that right now? Okay, so then my motion is we take the existing, what's the name of the poll?
I would say the...
Point of order, don't you have to take the last motion?
We've already...
Off the board?
What?
Don't we have to, is that...
I think we're just having a discussion right now, Ms. White.
I think the existing motion can be implemented.
Okay.
Easy
so,
enough.
So the existing motion can be implemented,
yes.
And
so there's no need for that.
By changing it to 7,500, and we're
correct.
Good. Okay, so it sounds like we're good with it. Thank you. Drum roll.
Okay.
Thank you.
President, via members of the board. We have the fourth quarter budget review, so this is as of June 30th, 2023, in item 8C. So the encumbrances are included in this agenda package. So these are the contracts, the purchase orders, the grant revenues, and the grant expenses associated with those revenues that have been approved in the last year, so fiscal year 2022 and 2023. But the costs haven't been fully incurred as of today or in as of June 30th. So those are attached to your agenda packet in Exhibit A, and we'll go over those at the end. But those are to be passed on to the next year, and you'll see that in the final budget hearing in item 9A, the budget hearing. So at this time, you can go, and the budget worksheets, they illustrate a line-by-line variance of how we did versus how we budgeted, and there are no budget adjustments proposed at this time. So I'm just going to have a slide per... Sorry, guys. I have a slide. I think I froze. There we go. I have a slide for each fund. Here we go. First fund. So that's our general fund. So it incurred an overall savings of $135,221. So this is because property taxes came in about $87,000 higher than expected than we received when they were projecting at the county. We also had a shortfall you'll see under other sources. Just know that's our administration allocation. So because we saved so much money in the administration budget, the reimbursement comes in for that exact amount. So it looks like it's there under, but you'll see the same amount is 5 lines for the same exact amount. So they basically just cancel themselves out. Also in the facilities funds under revenues, we were $11,000 short of what we projected based on the public facilities fees we received from the county, and that's for new development that we can use on facilities. The next item, fund, we have the water fund. So the overall sales, you can see we're under, and there is a water revenue comparison of the actual water sales versus our targeted revenues. You can see that for the last 3 years on page 113 of your agenda package. You can see the seasonal changes to there, and you can see that's why we're under there. A lot of people were conserving in the last year with all of our rain. Then the shortfall in revenues, they'll more than be covered by the savings we had in expenditures there. You can see most of our savings are coming from personnel in that same administration allocation reimbursement that you saw in the general fund. Moving to the wastewater fund, you can see here we were right on budget basically for revenues. And then we had a large saving in expenditures, and that was from across the board, from personnel expenditures, supplies, and our admin allocation. The garbage fund. So the franchise fees that we received from South County Sanitary Services, they came in slightly higher than anticipated. This, again, is based off the resolution 2020-02 that your board adopted, where we reduced our franchise fees from 10% to 5%, and that's also to help customers save on their bills. So we're running down reserves to help those customers, and you can see we were still able to get $68,000 for this year, but it used to be much higher, but we have cut it in half, so just know that is why. And so in expenditures, you can see we also saved in expenditures, and that's went for the same as the wastewater fund and the water fund, where it was on personnel, supplies, and the admin allocation. So our last sheet. So this is Exhibit A in your packet. So these are all the expenditures. They are the contracts, the purchase orders, and the grant revenues that haven't been fully incurred. So basically, these expense balances, we're going to create a restriction in our final budget, and you'll see that in our next hearing item. And basically, it's so we don't expend next year's funds for items that have already been budgeted in last year. So we'll make sure that these funds are kept in the encumbrance section of your each fund on your final budget hearing. So the list we have here, the first item is for GSI. That is for the NCMA annual report, and that's for about $15,000. We have one with WSC, and that's for providing staff extension services for the NCMA technical group, and that's to update the 2002 management agreement And so there's a remaining balance of 8,276. We have our Prop 1 grant revenues and expenditures for the stormwater capture and groundwater recharge program. And that's for that's $2.2 million, and that's for expenditures and revenues. Then we have our Prop 1 grant for the WRRP, the Water Resource Reliability Project. So this one is the 1-1 and 1-9 project that we did on Highway 1 and 19th, the alleyway. We still are waiting on grant funds for that for $21,225. Then we also have, for the same project, the 1-1 and 1-9, we're waiting on the Small Community Drought Relief Grant Program revenues, and that's for $260,000. So those will be encumbered into next year. Then we have our Community Development Block Grant revenues. That's for $225,000. Those revenues will help pay for the water tank rehabilitation program, and we also have a contract with ATS for $290,025, and that will roll forward to next year. We have a contract with Rincon Consultants to complete our NEPA and CEQA process for our waterline upgrades. That's for $56,321, and that will roll forward to next year in the water fund. And then we have a contract with Charge Future. That's for the EV charging stations we were discussing earlier, and that will roll forward for $9,707 to next year. And our last item, it was in the equipment fund. We also discussed the new service truck that was approved on December 14th at your board meeting, and that will roll forward in the equipment fund for $122,000. So with that, by establishing these encumbrances, they will roll forward to next year, and you'll see them in our budget hearing item in item 9A. And with that, the adoption of these encumbrances, I'll need a motion. And if there's any questions on any particular line item, I'm happy to answer them.
Yeah, I have a few questions. I noticed that there are several items that we are under budget due to personnel and administration cost savings. So I appreciate that. And I'm looking at after divestiture, what, for instance, on our revenues, we're going to be losing revenues. And so do we have any idea of what property taxes that we may receive?
Yeah, we don't know. Our proposal that was submitted to LAFCO basically was 85%, I want to say, 85% of our revenues would go to the county to provide fire service. Now, whether that is going to be acceptable to the county is yet to be seen. I'm sure they'll talk about that a little bit in September when they meet on the issue, but they're going to prepare a plan for service, and they'll put in there what they need to fund that plan.
Okay. All right. Also, I noticed that, you know, this year we're completing the transfer from the facilities fund to the water fund to pay off the sheriff station, which now will probably go to the county. And so we'll have no revenue with facilities. And then if they take the garbage franchise, we will lose the opportunity for surplus funds to have big appliance pickups and roll-offs on certain holidays or busy times. So do you, are there any other big changes facing the district after divestiture that you're aware of?
I mean, just as you're speaking about how the wastewater has been paid back with the facilities, we definitely need to look at wastewater rates. That is definitely on our next to-do of revenues to address.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
Any further questions?
No.
Public comment.
Hey there. I had
the 6-minute rule.
No. Thank you. I just two quick questions. The first is looking at the charged future EV stations. It says 9,700, but if I recall correctly, Director Sunnison said that we've already spent almost 15,000. So I'm just not sure where the 9,707 comes from. I do know there was a July payment, so maybe the July's not there. But even if you take into account April's payment and May's payment, it's not that total. So I'm just wondering. I'm sure Carrie could answer. And then one other question I had is, the other ones where we know the grant money that's coming in, so we see the income and then we see what the expenditure is, there's nothing there for charge future. So if this is a grant, why don't we know that number? And then my last question is, I just want to make sure that I understand on the CDBG water tank that you're looking to take in $225,000 and you're expending $290,000. Am I missing something? That's all I would like to ask. So those are my questions that I hope you guys follow up on. Thank you.
I can address some of those.
Go ahead.
So, yeah, we don't budget any revenues until there's an agreement signed. So that's why you don't see any revenue for the electric vehicle charging stations. We don't have a grant award in hand, so that's why we don't see any revenue to offset that. The water tank expenditures is going to be significantly higher than our grant revenue. So those expenditures, even, you know, right now we have a $65,000 difference. Once we put this out to bid, I'm guessing that the bids are going to come in significantly higher on the work, just because that's what we're hearing in the field is costs are skyrocketing. So we will return to your board with a budget adjustment once we know the bids on the water tank, and that will come out of reserves in the water fund. I think that's the questions.
Yes, thank you.
Do we know when we will go out for bid for the water tank?
We're looking to go out to bid probably in the next couple months. We're putting that package together. We want to do the work in the middle of winter when our water demand is the lowest, because we have to take all the water out of the tank. So that leaves us with one tank. So that's why we do the work when our demand is lowest in the middle of winter.
Okay.
Any further questions? Being none, do we need a motion to approve?
Yes, please. Just approve for the encumbrances of, yeah.
Approve staff recommendations.
So I move to approve staff recommendations for the budget 2022-23.
All right. I'm sorry, I couldn't hear that.
I had a motion from President Villa to move staff recommendations.
To approve.
On item C.
Item 8C.
Okay.
And then I had a second from Director Varney.
Thank you.
So, President Villa?
Yes.
Director Varney?
Yes.
Director Austin?
Yes.
Director Joyce Sunnison?
Yes.
And Vice President Gibson?
Yes.
Alrighty, that brings us to our next item, which is item 9, hearing items. Consideration of a recommendation to approve the final. Oh, I'm sorry. That's the one we just did, right?
Oh, I see.
Oh, no. Item 9, consideration and recommendation to approve the final 2023-24 budget. It's another budget issue, but not
Thank
the same
you.
One.
All right, President via members of the board, item 9A, this is our final 2023-2024 budget hearing. So just a quick short recap of how we got here. The preliminary budget was approved on June 28th, 2023 at your board meeting, and that established your revenues and expenditures. Then on July 26th, we had a budget adjustment to approve the use of general funds for Parks and Rec, which has been included in your budget. And then in item 8C, the one we just went over, your encumbrances were adopted with no changes, so I won't have to change anything in the encumbrance lines of this final budget since that was approved. And here in front of you today, that means we have our expenditures, we have our revenues, our encumbrances, and our reserves all here to be adopted. And and you can see that we have the reserves. I'm just going to go to page 112. You can see that I have it here on our screen, so we can review that. So this shows the increases and decreases to reserve. And just know this includes last year's savings, the savings we just went over, which we're going to call fund balance available. So the fund balance available is from the previous year, and it's basically taking our savings and using it and carrying it forward. So you can see here in the general fund, we'll only be using $8,799. Now, I had a question earlier from the public about how that's different from when we were looking at our preliminary budget in June. So basically, if you're on page 112, you'll see the very top line includes our fund balance available, and that's for that $135,067 for the fund balance available. So we're using that to help fund this budget. So that's where the difference stems from. So you take our beginning balance of the 175, and basically we're using the fund balance available of 135,000, and then we're adding 43. So that's how we got back to those projections back in June. So basically that's why we do the closeout at the June 30th fourth quarter budget review, so that we can figure out what our savings are to carry forward to this year. So then, based on that, the water fund, also using our fund balance available that was in the water fund, we'll be adding $42,278 to reserves based on the fund balance available and the savings from last year. Then in the wastewater fund, we'll be adding $14,190 to reserves. And then the garbage fund, we'll be using $65,149 of reserves. And just a reminder, we still are using the fund balance available, the savings from last year, but that resolution we adopted to help customers' bills to reduce our franchise fees, we're still going to be reducing reserves until, you know, our reserves are, after this year, even using that $65,000, we're still at $122,000. So just a heads up there on why we're using reserves. And so basically with this, this agenda item includes your revenues, your expenditures, your encumbrances, and your reserves. And basically, if you guys have any changes, I can make those. And those will go to, once this is approved, the county auditor and the local formation commission. So with that, I'm open to hearing any changes, or we can adopt as is, and we can get this to those agencies. And with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Time for public comment, Director Villa.
Julie Tacker, and I think it's encouraging to see that your reserves are in much better shape than when all the consternation over funding a Parks and Rec department for a mere $19,500 was at debate. You can afford it. And I hope you can put it all behind you and that you actually get something fun and good and healthy for your community out of that money. And I, you know, look forward to what you bring forward to be approved by the entire board with each expenditure associated with that. So this is good news.
Good evening. Great, approve it. I would just ask that the board, who feels they want to take on fiscal responsibility, would wonder and question if we're paying $25,000 to an accounting firm to do an audit, and that auditor finds problems with the internal controls of your company, and an investigation happens, where is that on the budget? Who's looking, who's handling this? What other professional services, where is that in your budget? Are the legal fees, is the attorney maybe hiring an auditor, an accounting firm to look into things? I would just ask if you are interested where certain things are going in your finances when it comes to your legal fees. Instead of just keep increasing the budget, find out what you're really spending it on, and also in any accounting that may be hidden in legal fees that you guys didn't approve an hourly rate or anything else. That's all I ask.
Any further public comment on this item? Any board discussion?
I just want to express really my deep appreciation as somebody who's mathematically challenged, Carrie, at the really just outstanding work that you do putting this together, all the complex details, and your ability to communicate it in a way that I can understand most of the time. And if I can't, it's my failure, not yours. So thank you very much.
Any further discussion? I also want to state, you know, that thank you for all the work that goes into this. I know it's a lot and it's complicated, and I'm glad that the district's doing a good job, including, I mean, it takes a whole team, right? It's not just Carrie, it's also the employees that are doing their job efficiently, and that's why we're able to be on track with the budget.
I'd like to move recommendation to approve the final 23-24 budget of the Oceana Community Services District.
A second.
Director Varney?
Yes.
President Villa?
Yes.
Director Austin?
Yes.
Director Joyce Sennison?
Yes.
And Vice President Gibson?
Yes.
So now that will take us to received written communications. Late received written communications.
There was an email that I think we have paper copies of that was given to your board that we received late last night.
I hope everyone reads the letter. It's quite telling what people are seeing out there, so I hope everybody takes notice and takes it to heart.
Okay, thank you. Future agenda items.
I have a future agenda item. So now that Parks and Recreation is funded, I've received communication from our council that we need to do some additional work on that. And I'm not sure exactly what that's going to entail, but I would like to schedule it for an agenda as soon as possible. Do you think we could do something 2 weeks from now, Mr. Martin?
Yes.
Okay. Director Villa, I would ask you to please direct the general manager to place that on the agenda for the next meeting.
I mean, if there's two people here at the meeting, I think it's going to go on.
Oh, okay.
Right?
Well, so. No. It can be, it's my understanding is that it won't necessarily go on the next agenda, on the next meeting. It's simply, it's agendized, but we have to, well, I'll just say, I have gotten items approved on the agenda that are not at the next meeting. So I'm asking specifically that you use your powers to direct that this be at the first meeting in September, okay. This item.
Can I modify that to ask that the direction be to legal counsel to work with the general manager to bring forth an agenda item related to Parks and Rec.
Okay.
I need a little bit of time to think about what it would be.
Right.
By the next meeting, right? First meeting of September.
Correct.
I had one item to put on and then a question about Director Varney's item. So I would like to put on the agenda legal counsel costs. Our legal fees for the calendar year 2022 were $39,500. So far for 2023, this calendar, we are already at $44,000. So we need to have a discussion of the board to lower our legal costs. I would also like to have legal counsel provide a detailed monthly statement to the board. And I would like to see a discussion about legal counsel only accepting communications from the district, the manager, staff, and board members, and to refer public communications to the general manager. And then as to Parks and Rec, I would like to add on to that the board, since we make the decisions and the OPAR committee is advisory to us, that we discuss goals, detailed budget, indemnification of the district, and identify events and programs to sponsor, and especially identified unmet needs as opposed to the duplication of sports and programs that already exist.
Yeah, I agree. It takes two.
So, any further future agenda items? I think that we had stated before that we wanted to revisit the bylaws. Mm-hmm. First, take care of the stuff that we took care of today, which was expenditure and revisiting of the committees, and then on a future agenda item to put that in the agenda. So I'd like that as a future agenda item, not just necessarily have to be at the next meeting, because I don't know how our agenda might be kind of full. And it sounds like, I don't know how long these issues will take, but I just want a future agenda item, near future agenda item to have that.
Any more future agenda items?
I did have a clarifying question from Director Gibson. Our firm does send monthly invoices that are detailed to the district. And okay. Any of the directors can look at those. They are full of attorney-client privileged information. In fact, I'm going to go over a few of them with Director Joyce Sunnison here this evening. So what type of... what type of thing would you like us to bring?
I'm trying to help us determine where our money is going and where we can try to lower our costs.
I think I can do something like that. I think I can probably, sort of make an estimate as to percentages of work that are going in, which direction they're going into.
Right, like phone calls or emails or, you know, and then, you know, if it's, you know, lawsuits, court issues or such contracts, then I don't think those really contribute to the high cost. So
yeah,
that's the general idea.
I think what you said about talking to members of the public, calling you directly, if you bill us for that.
I don't, actually. I don't do that.
I want to make sure that we're not having public calling you, and then we're paying for it.
Well, I think that's why I want discussion.
I think that, or that, and to discuss business with the public. I think you should refer them to the general manager.
Yeah, and that you're not spending your time to communicate with the public. It's the general manager's responsibility.
Understood.
So if the public calls you, we don't get billed for that?
No. I mean, that does happen occasionally, but I might mention it on the invoice, but there's no time recorded for it.
Unless there's a specific legal question that has to be looked into or something.
It's typically a Public Record Act request or something like that.
Okay, so there are some things.
So when a time is put next to that, you're not actually billing for that time?
No, so I think that it's, so there's, there, the way that we do our invoices, and I'll show you later, is, you know, we encapsulate all the work that we did over the course of a day.
Right.
Inside of there, there might be things that we don't keep track of time for, but there will be a single, you know, amount of time spent for all the other tasks that we did bill for at the end of the day.
But public records requests can be handled by district staff.
Okay, so if I see a pub, I'm just trying to.
I'll go over them with you in a moment. You know, I will say Public Record Act requests are legal in nature. It's common for counsel for most CSDs to help staff with those. And oftentimes they do come through the staff.
Right.
Occasionally, only occasionally do they come directly from the public.
And since we're not supposed to be discussing this yet.
It will be addressed. I was just asking for a clarifying question regarding what type of document you wanted us to produce.
Okay.
I think I understand.
Okay, good. Thank you.
So are we done with future agenda items? All right, next we have the closed session. We have already done that in a special meeting.
Already been made.
I know. Can you make it in public?
It's already been made.
Can you repeat?
I believe so. I think the report out of closed session was there was no reportable action on the three pending litigation cases, no reportable action regarding the general manager's evaluation. The board directed, I think that's it. So.
I make a motion to adjourn.
Second.
Vice President Gibson?
Yes.
Director Austin?
Yes.
Director Varney?
Yes.
Director Joyce Sinison?
Yes.
And President Villa?
Yes.